Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, intuitive Reiki master teacher and the author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which offers a clear understanding of the nature of our energetic connections and how to maximize our energetic life force for optimal success in living a healthy, prosperous, and fulfilling life journey. Joining me today is Suzanne Mathis McQueen, author of Four Seasons in 4 Weeks, which describes a remarkable system within each woman for understanding their own rhythmic nature. Suzanne coaches women on how to track the energies of their own hormonal rhythm using symbolism, archetypes, and an easy-to-follow system which helps make sense of the emotional and physical effects of these changing cycles. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Cheryl. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you're most welcome. Suzanne, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, this show offers an analysis and interpretation of the many ways available to us as human and spiritual beings to learn about ourselves, the world, our interaction with our environment, people, and situations. It is only through self-discovery and the mastering of our emotional body that we come to know ourselves fully while learning to deal well with any issue or event we may encounter. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will explore how using sun seasons, moon phases, and archetypes can awaken and help us rediscover long-forgotten teachings of our feminine power or female power and wisdom in a non-technical and symbolic journey. We will explore the 28 days of the female hormonal rhythm and tap into this primordial compass and ancient wisdom, moving through our essence and physical energy and sexuality to find optimal times to connect, create, exercise, seduce, rest, lead, and observe, taking the mystery and guesswork out of how to communicate and express our deepest needs to help ourselves and to inform others of what is important to us in life. Suzanne, please tell us something of your childhood experiences and interests, as I have found that the plan or the seeds for many of us, for our interests and our life experiences, show up really early on in life.
Gosh, that is such an interesting question. I really appreciate it. Not one that anyone has ever asked me before, actually, and I just love it. I would have to say that starting from a very, very early age, I remember being around 3 and a half or so and being at home. My brother and sister were at school, and really understanding the moment. I remember the moment when I really understood that my mother really wasn't capable of fully taking care of me. And I remember having that realization and actually being okay with it. You know, I was very small, so I just saw, I had some compassion for her. And she really struggled. She really struggled in her journey as a woman. She was a very loving mother. I felt very loved, you know, no abuse or anything like that, but she just had some real challenges. And I remember thinking that I needed to take care of her, that she really couldn't take care of me. And that didn't seem odd, and it never seemed out of balance, anything like that. But, you know, over the years, I realize now, looking back, that what I had actually done was I think I acquired many, many female mentors along the way. And, you know, and I love that journey myself as well with other young women. I just realized that there was a sadness amongst our tribe as women. And I think that has influenced me greatly over my entire life at this point, you know, up to this point.
I understand. And I understand that perhaps you had a sense of your soul being and your purpose even as young as 3 years old. And it's possible that you had a greater awareness of life and the values and what you wish to achieve. And it had nothing to do with age. It's something that's within us. Perhaps if we think of having many lives, and some of us or more mature souls, having had more experience, it would be possible to see your mother as needing to do something different or having different challenges than you. And I can understand that very well, because I remember as a child, I used to think my mother was adorable in her little dresses. She flitted by in her, and I thought she was very childlike. And I did take care of her later on in life, because it seems to have been a similar awareness. We were looking at life in a little different way, perhaps more from our inner essence or soul essence. Tell us something about your work as a hairdresser and spa owner in Oregon and how it led you on a personal journey and an awakening to the secrets of the feminine rhythm of life. You just started to tell us about some of the women you met, and they possibly were feeling similar things to you. And we're all awakening to their potential.
Absolutely, absolutely. I never planned on being a hairdresser for long. I received my hair license to be able to cut my friend's hair and travel the world and do that, and also have a profession while I was going through school, through college. But what I ended up discovering is that I absolutely loved it, and that's because I loved the personal one-on-one connections that I was able to make with other people. I didn't really realize it so much at the time, but it later occurred to me that when you are really working with someone's crown chakra and really opening it up, that they began to speak from their heart. Men and women both do that, and I felt really very honored to hold space while I was doing their hair and listen to what they had to say. I would ask them, you know, questions, and they would just really start streaming, I would say. And you do Reiki work, and so I know that you understand it, well, that you understand a lot of what I'm talking about. But I just felt very connected and really just really learned to love this profession. And so I stayed in it, and eventually I own two small salons, and then I built a large day spa, the first day spa here in Ashland, Oregon, in my hometown. There, I just really fell in love with the healing industry itself. I saw the potential.
That's what it is. Anyone who works on the body or close to the energy system of a person is making a connection to the chakra system, and it is a thing of creation and beauty. It's not only that a hairdresser can do something to make the person feel good because they look better, but they absolutely feel better because they're part of some change that's going on at the moment. And you're right, as a Reiki master teacher, working with energy, anyone who works, a massage therapist, a polarity healer, someone doing cranial sacral work, a chiropractor, they're all working with energy systems, and they're also helping the person to rediscover what it means to actually feel, to go within your body and make a connection to your soul energy. You know, the physical world distracts us. And it has so many challenges for us. So getting back to that inner energy is what makes us remember who we are and the beauty of life and making all these connections in love and with compassion. So that's what you were discovering, and it is a great joy to do that.
I was just going to say, it was just so beautiful to see the transformation in people. They would come in for their appointment. Let's say they were coming in for a massage and another service, perhaps. And they would come in, you know, they've been stressed out from the day, but they really looked okay. You know, they came in, you know, looking like their normal selves. But how they looked when they left was, you know, I was always in awe. They were so much in their love, in their loving space.
Yeah.
They were relaxed, and they did look healed from an hour or two or three or four, however long they spent in there. And every single time I saw that, I thought, boy, this is worthwhile.
And I see that also. I see people come in stressed and tired. I can see the color of their skin tone and know what's going on, which chakra is actually out of balance and creating that. And at the end, their skin tone is so much improved. And they walk out, they look in the mirror, they can see it themselves. And it doesn't happen to everyone, but it happens to many, many people, that there is that kind of shift in their health, in their thinking, in their vitality at the moment. So it's very important. And it's not something you just do once and then you say, oh, I've had this experience and it's going to stay with me forever and ever. No, the body is constantly changing and shifting, and we're facing different challenges. So we need to have these services as part of a wellness plan. Let's go on to the Four Seasons, 4-Week Blueprint and the several cycles that women are dealing with. Men need to understand it, and we will help them to understand it. But first, women need to understand it fully so that they can know the possibilities for their own development.
That's correct. Well, what I ended up discovering back in the late 90s is something for myself. This is not something that I ended up planning to write about, but I would eventually write about it at the request of a male friend, actually, because he finally understood this system. But back in the late 90s, when I owned this day spa, I had about 30 employees. I had, you know, a lot of clients, were a very busy place. And I found myself making inconsistent decisions. I felt that I disseminated the information to the staff very well, the vision, you know, our policies, our procedures, you know, all the stuff, and we were working well. But I found myself making some inconsistent decisions, and I don't mean just approaching a topic from a different point of view. That would be a natural thing to do. I felt that I felt a little disturbed by it. I felt that I just sort of kept changing my mind, and that was something that I did not, I did not want to have that happen. I didn't want to think that it even had anything to do with my hormones, because I didn't like that reputation for women in the world. I didn't, I never felt that my hormones had anything to do with what made me tick, but something nudged me and said, you know, you need to track your cycle and see if you can get any insights on this. So I began to track my cycle, not for reasons of for fertility or contraception, but I decided to just jot down some notes. So I began to jot down things about my physical energy, my mental viewpoint, my sexuality, my how I was communicating, all of those things, and then just kind of let it go. Every day I would make little notes, not a big deal. I was really, really busy, and I really didn't pay that much attention to it. But a couple of months later, I went home from work on a lunch break, and I was standing up in my kitchen eating a sandwich and looking over my day planner and all of my notes. And Cheryl, I just had that moment. I had that moment where the words floated to the surface, fall, winter, spring, and summer. I just saw it. I saw exactly what this cycle was about and how it related to the natural rhythms of the universe, how this was just one more natural rhythm in the universe, but probably the most powerful one. And it was something we had never learned, something I had never learned, but I knew other women around me had not learned it either. I saw that this monthly cycle of ours, which ends up really just being a blueprint of four phases that we have as females from the time we're born until the time we die. We have it as girls. We have those four phases as girls. We have them post-menopause. But the blueprint of it is during our reproductive cycling years. And I saw that it breaks down into 4 weeks. Week 1, 2, 3, 4, it also relates to fall, winter, spring, and summer. It relates to the new moon, waxing moon, full moon, and waning moon. And so I decided to try it out. I decided to just map it out in my day planner ahead of time. I thought, well, let's see, I'm on day 17 today. That means I'm in spring, week 3. But the funny thing was is that I knew exactly what it meant. I knew exactly what the strengths were for this phase. I knew what tools I needed to bring in. I just, you know, I had that download happen, and it was vast. I knew what it meant for me. I knew what it meant for my relationships. I knew it was the missing piece of our empowerment as women. And I mapped it out in my day planner. I thought, well, I'm in spring this week, I'll be in summer next week, and then I'll be in fall again. And every day I'd wake up, I'd know what day I was on, and I would go about my day according to following that blueprint. And, you know, it really kind of wasn't a big deal, I think, because it was such a big download for me. It seemed really normal. I completely got it. But what really surprised me is after, you know, a good month and a half I just could not believe how accurate this system was. I just couldn't believe it.
It makes sense to me. I mean, when I was younger and I used to listen to people talk about their menstrual cycle and how uncomfortable they were and how they would get a headache or they couldn't do this or that sport or this activity, I could not understand it because I was able to go through the different weeks as we were leading up to it and after it and always moderate my energy force. So I could be in good humor and good cheer. And I mean, I thought people were actually using some of this to say, oh, I'm emotional now. I want to act badly. I want to talk out. And it's because of that I have my menstrual cycle. I really thought it was something that they were using. But there is more to it than that. Now, you describe week one is the dark new moon when, as women, we are quiet and internal. Or going within. And week two, the waxing moon's light, you say it corresponds with our hormones heightening, and we become more interesting and interested. So
Perfectly said.
then the third week, or the full moon, was magnificence in beauty, which represents ovulation or the height of our sex drive. And we're stunning, we feel stunning, and we're magnificent, and we feel the power of our sensuality and sexuality. And in week four, the light energy of the waning moon diminishes and will rest as it goes dark. So women begin to go again within themselves. And just like the moon, the hormones adjust every single day, and we are simply not the same person every day. And that's what you were becoming aware of when you said certain times perhaps you weren't able to make the decisions you wanted because your body was going through these changes. So when you know when you're at your optimal best, that would be a good time probably to make important decisions.
Well, the thing is that what I ended up discovering is that I do, was not able to wait for certain days in order to make, to meet up with the right time to make a certain decision. But what I learned how to do was to find balance every single day. Because as humans, we have that compass, that peace in us that wants comfort every day. Just like going through the seasons. Right now it's winter, and we, in order to find comfort, we practice rhythmic thinking. What do we do to make ourselves comfortable? Before we go outside, we grab a coat, and we put a coat on when we're outside in order to have comfort. In the summer, we wouldn't make that same decision. We understand what we need for the day. So women can learn every single day what it is they need to draw in order to find that balance, in order to be able to make optimal decisions every day.
Suzanne, how does promoting the virtues of the female cycle lead us to ways to understand equality, well-being, and enlightenment? Because I know your book and your system point in that direction, and that's what this show is about.
Yes, you bet. Well, here's the thing, is that as women, we have come such a long way. Everything that our mothers and grandmothers and what we did ourselves in the 70s and that kind of thing, what we've done to advance women into positions of being able to take themselves out of poverty, to be able to express themselves in the way that they like. All of those things were important to do and benefited us greatly. But the one thing we have not been able to master is sovereignty over our bodies. And this is, I believe, the missing piece. And the reason why is because we have not really learned what's wonderful about this reproductive body of ours. It's really been, for the most part, if you ask the majority of women, right now, it's something like 77% of young women out there would really, or just really feel like they just have to tolerate this cycle of theirs. 50% would like to abandon it altogether. We really haven't learned what's great.
I'm a spiritual teacher, and as a woman, I never experienced feeling that I was anything less than a very powerful force for love, change, and creating whatever it is I put my intention on. Now, I guess this is not usual for some women, but it was very usual for me because perhaps I have a lot of male energy. Perhaps I balance my left and right brain Equally. Now, you talk about the three tribes of women. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, what I ended up discovering, again, as I wrote this book, I practiced this for 7 years, this system, before even beginning to write the book, and then it took another 7 years to write the book. And while I was writing, I would continue to get more information about it. I'd get woken up around 3:30 in the morning, and here was another new batch of information, and one of the pieces is the three tribes of women, the first tribe being what I call the pre-bloods, and these are our girls. These are our girls who are morphing into this rhythm, into these four phases. And then we've got the blood givers, who are the cycling women. That's during their reproductive years, correct. And then you've got the blood keepers, and that not only includes postmenopause, but that includes early hysterectomy. You know, you've got these women who may have had a hysterectomy at 25 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they have fallen through the cracks. They've actually lived a very sad, they have felt really, really sad about their femininity and have felt a little lost and rejected by, they haven't really felt like they fit in. And I say that they're a blood keeper. They fit in. We all fit in, and we all have these four phases in common. We have, we're three tribes because as a tribe we experience them slightly different than the other tribe. But we all experience the same thing. And it doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, pink or purple, you know, polka dotted, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because we're all from the same energy. We're
mm-hmm.
all spiritual beings having a physical life. And we
right.
all have great potential to live a wonderful life. But it's only if we get into belief systems. If we think there is something wrong with having children or being a woman. I mean, I've heard men say, oh, I wouldn't do that for anything. I wouldn't want to be a woman and I wouldn't want to have a baby. They might want to be a father, but they
right.
don't want to be the bearer and go through the pain. And that kind of thinking, it just has no purpose.
Right.
For men or women, it's a gift to be alive. And really, we need to appreciate each other's sameness. Because whether
yeah.
we're with a male or a female, whether we're menstruating or we're menopausal, whether we had a baby or never had one, it really doesn't matter. We're all living a human experience and trying to find what is most the same about ourselves instead of focusing on all these differences. Now, you say menopause is the time when we've stopped giving our blood away each month for population purposes to have mm-hmm. children, and we now can nurture the power within us. And I agree. There is no need for anyone who has a hysterectomy at 25 or someone in menopause
sure.
to feel that they have lost anything.
Right.
They have not lost anything. They are just gaining a new experience to go through. Nothing really ends. It just takes us into a new way of seeing ourselves and the world. And if you think positively about all these things, you can use it to channel goodness and kindness and love and health and happiness into your life. And you do say that. We
mm-hmm.
are addressing ideas that are long overdue for people to think about. So please, Suzanne, tell us ways to begin a self-reflective and empowering practice using your system.
Well, what I would have everyone do, what I have all women do, is track their cycle. If they are a cycling woman, if they are a blood giver, as I call it, they would start tracking their cycle on the first day of their period, and beginning with that week one. Everything is symbolism at that point. The seasons are symbolism. The moon phases are used as symbolism to calculate, you know, where they're at. That's the laying low phase. That's when their hormones are at their lowest, so they need to lay low. That's the resting phase. For non-cycling women, I have them start tracking on the first day of the actual new moon. And it's not that the moon is as potent as it used to be now that we have artificial light interfering with our personal signals, but our bodies remember these four phases very, very well. We've got thousands of years of DNA in us of women who cycled before us, who who knew these phases very well. And so all we have to do is tell our minds to just go back into these four phases, do the exercises for those, and our bodies will start getting back into that rhythm.
So, Suzanne, you're dedicated and your system is dedicated to changing the way the world views women and also the way women view themselves. You know, in my new book, The Living Spirit, I address the way to happiness, and it's achieved by an inward process of the soul. There's a famous quote from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, and this made a lasting impression on me. And Caesar said, "The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings." So the deal here is there can be peace and happiness in a person's life, and it comes through inner knowing and knowing yourself very well. And Suzanne, you know the world begins within each of us. And what you're talking about here, this universal or total wisdom of the ages, is within us. And by improving our sense of intuition, which women have to a very large degree, we can flow with all these experiences. And you wrote something in regard to the power of inner wisdom. You wrote, "Each woman is the wisdom keeper of her own sacred vessel, her treasured womb, the source of creation, which contains the buried feminine cycle blueprint, the original and ever-evolving feminine insight, women's unbounded potential, magnanimous influence and royalty, womb wisdom." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. I want to thank you, Suzanne Mathis McQueen, for your look at ways through the natural cycles of a woman's system to awaken the power, wisdom, and beauty in her nature, ultimately developing many new spiritual gifts to support, nurture, and create better relationships with partners, family, and friends. For more information, go to 4s4w.com.
Uh-huh, like 4seasons4weeks.com, 4s4w.com. And I have a free poster that they can download. It's a digital download that shows them the four phases.
Great. Yeah. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have explored the inner world hormonally and also spiritually of the many underlying influences that affect a woman's decision-making process and the challenges of her own body rhythms in accordance with societal and political systems which affect the way she interacts with and maneuvers her way through the life experience. It is in the best interests of everyone concerned to be aware of the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of any individual as we seek multidimensional awareness of our universal life energy force and the methods and means available to us when we connect to our highest intuition and awaken this inner system of wisdom that helps us again remember the truly empowered and loving beings that we are. Suzanne wrote, "Addressing a crowd at Amherst College in 2001, Alana Hartzog stated, 'The European indigenous women were strong and clear, with women with equal status to men. They could stand their ground because they had access to the common lands. The imperial forces called them witches. They were women who practiced healing and agriculture and were leaders of their communities. The Holy Inquisition targeted and eliminated this group of women because of the threat they posed to a patriarchal, male-dominated society. We feel the loss of this pure, elevated honor of women, and many people worldwide are making efforts now to bring it back. Ceremonies, prayers, and events are gaining speed to raise the consciousness of the planet by helping us tap into this sacred, equal respect of genders and remember it. We are doing our best to access the lost and oppressed information of our ancestors from a time when women were truly respected without domination and men had true honor without dominating. Suzanne and I would ask you to reach into our past to remember the wisdom of the feminine psyche and call to the mature masculine energies to challenge the power-hungry mentality that has run the world for too long, and now help create a loving and kind populace free of global atrocities. In embracing our greatest inner wisdom with confidence, integrity, and a sense of honor, we may move forward to peace, harmony, and balance, which supports and nurtures all people, men and women, and our planet. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, where you may listen to and read about the leaders in the movement for higher consciousness and a greater way to understand our energetic and physical worlds for improving your own personal life journey and for a more informed world community. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.